This recording is part of a series of podcasts in which the novel Dear Yoni is read aloud chapter by chapter by the author Lisa Picard. Please note that Dear Yoni contains sexually explicit language and scenes of a sexual nature. It is not suitable for anyone under the age of 18.
Hi, and welcome back. We've been reading about how Jess has been going to ever greater extremes to try and save her marriage. Last week, we read about her and her husband James' experiences at the Swingers Club. This week, they go even further. We are going to be reading Chapter 5 and Chapter 6. I hope you enjoy. Chapter 5, All About a Girl. About 2 months after our experience at the Swingers Club, James and I received an invitation from a couple we had met there to apply to attend a private party to be held in a fortnight's time. "What do they mean we have to apply to attend a party?" James snorted with disgust. "Either they want us there or not. What nonsense." He summarily deleted the WhatsApp message and started getting ready for work. But I was intrigued and decided to investigate further. In retrospect, I really wish that I had simply left it all there. I had also received the WhatsApp message with a link to a web page for the party. The design of the page managed to be both classy and sexy at the same time, utilizing a retro style that evoked the feeling of old black and white movies, gorgeous starlets, and Hollywood glamour. The web page promised that only 10 of the most attractive, desirable and classy couples would be in attendance, hence the need to apply. Scanning through the application form, I saw that we needed to provide a head and shoulders shot, as well as a full-length, fortunately fully clothed, shot of both members of the couple and a one-page motivation for why we thought we were desirable as a couple and what we would bring to the party. Literally. Also, a rather hefty entrance fee would be charged to cover the cost of top quality refreshments, although an additional cash bar would be available on the night. What a cheek! But actually, a small part of me kind of admired the chutzpah of the organizers, just putting it right out there that they only wanted interesting and attractive people at their party. Wouldn't life be so much simpler if we were all just more honest about what we really wanted, I mused to myself, as I started browsing through my folders of photographs to find something suitable. I suddenly realized that I really wanted to be at that party with all of its beautiful and desirable people. An hour later, I had found suitable photographs and completed the online application form. As I pressed send, I had to quell a sudden pang of guilt that I had done this without James's knowledge or consent. But I justified it to myself that if we weren't selected, he never needed to know that I'd applied. And if we were selected? Well, I would cross that bridge if and when we got to it. 2 weeks later found us knocking at the door of a very luxurious home in an upmarket part of the city, dressed only in hats and shirts, as specified in the invitation. James had been rather taken aback to learn that I'd applied without his knowledge. But I had managed to convince him that it would be an interesting experience, and I had even used his own soothing reassurance that we could always leave if we weren't enjoying ourselves. Also, I have to admit that I used a little bit of additional persuasion to sway his opinion. He really did love those cherry red heels and crotchless panties. The door was opened by a voluptuous blonde whose completely unbuttoned shirt allowed us full frontal confirmation that she had taken the invitation's admonishment to wear a shirt and hat and nothing else, very literally indeed. "Jessica and James, welcome. I recognize you from your photos. Lovely to have you here tonight. Leave your shoes here and come on in." We took off our shoes and left them in the racks provided in the entrance hall. Then we followed our lovely hostess through an open door into a large, overheated room filled with gorgeous people in hats and shirts, drinking champagne and chatting. The sultry, smoky tones of Nina Simone filled my ears as we were each handed a glass of champagne and introduced to a group of people by our hostess. if it were not for the fact that we were all barefoot and dressed so strangely, this would have felt like an ordinary cocktail party, as the topics of conversation covered the usual gamut from politics to children to the price of real estate. But an hour into the party, things were beginning to hot up. Upbeat house music was playing, and several couples were on the dance floor. Many hats and shirts had been discarded, and it was rather difficult not to stare at the abundance of toned and beautiful flesh gyrating on the dance floor. The voluptuous blonde who had greeted us at the door came to stand by my side. Earlier, she had told us that her name was Candy, and then reassured us that it definitely was her given name. "Would you like to go somewhere a little quieter?" she asked, as she struggled to make herself heard over the music. "Yes, definitely," I shouted, indicating to James that I was leaving with Candy for the next room. He remained deep in conversation with John, Candy's partner, about the finer points of investing in cryptocurrencies, and simply nodded his agreement. Candy took my hand as we wove through the dancers to get to the other side of the room, and a door leading into the next room. Once through the door, I heaved a sigh of relief. It was much quieter in here, with slow, sexy Latin music playing, and much darker too. As my eyes adjusted to the dim candlelight, I noticed that the room was far from unoccupied. Several people, mostly completely naked, were writhing around on the cushions and mattresses on the floor. The air was thick with incense and pheromones. I would have remained standing there, transfixed, had Candy not again taken my hand and led me to a vacant nest of cushions in the far corner. We simply sat and observed the proceedings in the room for a while. There was no doubt that the sight of beautiful bodies writhing together in such an uninhibited way was highly erotic. After a while, I felt a hand slowly sliding my oversized shirt off my shoulder and a hot breath against my ear. "Let's play," whispered Candy, as her thumb traced slow circles against my shoulder. I froze, in shock, for a few moments, as a rush of heat suffused my body. I concentrated on breathing in and out for a few long moments as I adjusted to this new development. But then, gradually, an intoxicating wildness began to course through my veins. This was the moment I'd been waiting for, the moment I'd fantasized about for so long. Finally, I was going to experience what it felt like to make out with a woman. My brief and disappointing experience in the swingers club didn't count, I rationalized. This time I was prepared and would be able to be fully present to the experience, I thought as I slowly turned to face Candy. "Your eyes are huge," she grinned. "Don't worry, I'll be really gentle with you and I'm mostly harmless." She winked at me as her fingers gently traced the outline of my breast through my shirt. My nipple responded immediately to her touch, and goosebumps erupted all over my body as she pinched my erect nipple through the soft fabric of my shirt. And then suddenly we were kissing, and it was absolutely heavenly. Everything I had always imagined, and so much more. Her lips were incredibly soft, and she smelt like heaven as she pressed the soft fullness of her breasts against mine. Kissing a woman had an almost overwhelming, all-encompassing lushness that I had never felt with a man, a sensory overload that engulfed me, almost as if the boundaries between Candy and myself had dissolved and we were just one soft, fragrant, moist fullness. I gradually became aware of hands stroking my legs and buttocks, and I dragged my mouth from the intoxicating heat of Candy to discover that we had been joined by another couple who were stroking Candy and myself as we kissed. For a moment I resisted, and then I simply surrendered to the sensory overload. At some point, I realized that my shirt had been completely removed, and Candy and I were entwined together on the cushions, devouring each other's mouths and writhing and grinding our bodies together. The female of the couple was spooning me, stroking my legs and buttocks, while her male partner spooned Candy as he sucked and licked my nipples. This naked body sandwich was so incredibly erotic. I reached behind me to stroke the woman's breasts, and she rained hot kisses down my neck before leaning over to kiss her partner with an open mouth. The up-close view of their hot mouths devouring each other nearly drove me wild. So this is where you got to. I started as I heard James's voice above us and glanced up, my heart beating wildly. But he was smiling, and I could see that he too was excited to see one of his fantasies playing out in front of him. "Can I join in the fun?" he asked as he sank to his knees onto the cushions, and the woman behind me very rapidly drew him in for a kiss. I was surprised to feel no jealousy whatsoever, only more excitement as I watched her hands pulling off my husband's shirt. The rest of the evening passed in a blur of hands and tongues and bodies and complete sensory overload. Eventually, after all the foreplay, James and I ended up making love on the cushions, surrounded by other couples, either doing the same or watching the action. I was surprised to find myself completely unconcerned about being watched. In fact, it added an element of excitement to the proceedings. When we finally got home in the early hours of the following morning, James and I made wild, passionate love again, and I went to sleep convinced that our sexual drought was now finally over and that we had found the recipe to keep things fresh and exciting between us. But I awoke the following morning with a strange taste in my mouth and a bewildering feeling of non-specific dread in my lower belly. I felt restless and uneasy as scenes of the previous night kept popping up in my mind. I found myself worrying about the things I had said and done and how I had looked as I was doing them. I lay in bed for a long time, trying to identify what I was feeling. Finally, it came to me. I was feeling afraid, unsafe somehow, and I really didn't know why I was feeling that way. I turned over to put my arm over my husband's chest and nestled up under his chin, trying to find my center again. "What's up?" he murmured in a voice thick with sleep. "Nothing, I guess," I lied, hoping that my feelings were simply caused by drinking too much champagne on an empty stomach last night and too little sleep. "Jess, what's wrong?" he asked, sitting up in bed and eyeing me with concern. I smiled to see the left side of his hair standing up in a crest, even as I marveled at how well my husband could read me. "It's just, I don't know, I feel kind of weird and scared and icky about last night, I guess," I mumbled. "Like, last night felt so amazing while it was happening, and you and I had such great sex, but this morning it all feels a little seedy and meaningless and uncomfortable. I just feel unsettled and out of my comfort zone somehow. Also, I keep thinking how those people were watching me and touching me, and I didn't even know most of their names. And I don't know if you can remember, but one of the guys was taking photos with his cell phone, which I didn't mind at the time, but now I feel really uncomfortable about him having compromising pics of us." At this, James grabbed his phone off the bedside table and immediately began texting, saying, "I'll make the organizers insist on all photos being deleted." Of course, there was no way that was going to happen. And eventually, James and I had to accept that there was nothing we could do to force the cameraman to delete his pics. He had assured us that they were only for his personal use, which somehow didn't reassure me at all. But my uncomfortable feelings were not caused only by the fact that there was photographic evidence of our night's activities. Something else didn't feel quite right. But it was to be many months before I'd finally discover what the cause of my discomfort could be. In the meantime, James and I decided to give such parties a miss in future, which was quite difficult to do, as we had evidently made quite an impression. Suddenly, there were invitations galore to all kinds of events, and no further mention made of having to apply to attend either. It seemed that this circle of people held parties most weekends, and we could have spent all our leisure time soft swinging, and much more if we so desired, with strangers had we decided to do so. Eventually, my discomfort faded, and some of the aspects of the evening began to appear in my own private fantasy world. One aspect in particular, and it seemed as if my husband was secretly nurturing similar desires. Day 8. Dear Yoni, looking back on that time in our lives, there is so much that I regret. so much that I would do differently if I could go back in time. If only I hadn't agreed to go to that first swingers club with James, we would never have been invited to the second party. If only I hadn't applied to attend that party, we would never have met Candy. If only I had put an end to our experimentation after the private party. If only. Somehow, in all the excitement of novel experiences, we had lost sight of why we had started out on this path in the first place, to invigorate our sex life and to help our relationship out of its rut. Well, our sex life was actually pretty good at this point, and our relationship seemed to be quite invigorated due to all the new experiences. Certainly, we were no longer just vegetating in front of the TV every night. We were actually spending time talking about our experiences. A whole new exciting dialogue had opened about our sexual fantasies as well. So we had achieved what we had set out to achieve. But by this time, it was definitely no longer about our relationship and more about gratifying our egos and our libidos. I had also lost sight of my yearning for sex to be so much more than just the physical meeting and mutual gratification of two or more bodies. Although much of what I had experienced had been wildly exciting for me at the time, none of it had brought me even the tiniest of steps closer to finding that for which I was yearning within my deepest being. It felt as if we were on a crazy pheromone-fueled joyride, seeking ever more extreme experiences. Actually, I believe that this is what it may feel like to be addicted to a drug. A drug that keeps promising, but never quite delivers. So you just keep taking more and more of the drug, in the hope that somehow, someday, you'll finally have the peak experience that you crave. This particular drug was inexorably leading me to my very own rock-bottom experience, but I was completely unaware of it at the time. Chapter 6. Odd One Out. We were cuddling together after a long, lazy Sunday morning of lovemaking, followed by breakfast in bed. "Honey, I've been thinking," said James, as he brushed an errant croissant crumb from the side of my mouth. I mumbled, stretching out like a cat in the warm sunshine streaming through the window. I felt really great. This was definitely the best way to spend the weekend. "You and Candy seemed to really enjoy each other's company at that party, and I was wondering whether you'd like to enjoy a repeat of that experience." "Not a party, but here at our own home, just the three of us," he added the last bit as I sat bolt upright in bed, about to launch into all the reasons why we shouldn't go to such a party again. "But, James, what about John, her partner?" "Jess, they're not actually partners. He was just her date for the night." "How do you know that?" I asked, a bit taken aback that James knew more than I did about the woman with whom I had spent the better part of an evening making out. "Jess, she told me when you went to the loo after we had made love. She actually joked that she was a unicorn. You know, that rare mythical creature, an attractive, single, bisexual woman. Anyway, I think we both really liked her, and she led me to understand that she wouldn't be averse to a threesome with us. I've been thinking about it a lot, and I'd really like to give it a try." I stared in absolute shock at this man, whom I had thought I knew so well after almost 8 years of marriage. But why didn't you mention this to me before? It's been over a month since the party." "Jess, you were so freaked out after that party that I thought I should rather not mention the idea until you'd had some time to process and come to terms with everything that went down. But I think you'd agree that we're doing really well now as a couple, and your experience with Candy really gave our sex life a boost, so I'd like to repeat that. What do you think?" I sat silently for a while, the uneasy mix of excitement and disbelief frothing through my body, causing a queasy feeling in my stomach. But gradually, the excitement took the upper hand. It was true that I'd really enjoyed making out with Candy, And if we did this in the comfort and safety of our own home, then we would eliminate all the risky elements of the party and just enjoy the fun ones. In fact, the more I thought about it, the more excited I became. Okay, let's do it. Let's see if she's available to come play with us next weekend. You're absolutely amazing, you know that? James pulled me towards himself to plant a big wet kiss on my cheek, which ended up on my mouth and resulted in another energetic bout of lovemaking. The much-anticipated day had finally arrived. As I rushed around, adding some last-minute touches to our already pristine home, I was aware of my stomach clenching and my breath racing. I couldn't remember when last I'd felt so nervous and so anxious. Actually, probably at the last sex party I attended, I mused wryly. That alone should have alerted me to the fact that this was a really bad idea. But alas, it didn't. As I fussed with the flower arrangement on the dining room table, James entered the room, adjusting his shirt cuffs. He looked gorgeous, in a slender fit, dark shirt and pants, his damp dark hair curling in his neck. "Wow, you look amazing, Jess," he whistled, coming to stand behind me and kissing me in the tender spot just behind my ear. "So do you, babe," I whispered, inhaling deeply in appreciation of his cologne. "But I'm just about sick with nerves. How do we do this? Like, what's the game plan?" "This isn't a sports match, honey," James laughed. "Just a date with a beautiful woman. We simply enjoy her company and see if there's any chemistry developing. If not, it's just dinner with a potential friend." "Yes, but who makes the first move? You or me? And what if one of us feels like moving forward to lovemaking and then the other doesn't?" "How about we use a code word? Like, if we're both feeling it, then we find a way to work the word eclair into the conversation. And the other one will say, 'I love eclairs,' if it's a go, or 'I really don't like eclairs,' if it's not. If no one mentions eclairs, then we'll just call it dinner with a friend."
I can see that possibly working. But still, how do I make the moves on her? I have absolutely no experience in making love to a woman. How do I even know if I'm getting it right?" I wailed, my pulse rate increasing even further. If this continued, I might just have a heart attack, and then that would solve all of my problems. I realized that I was rapidly descending into hysteria and gave myself a mental shake. "Honey, you and Candy had absolutely no problems connecting at the party. And you've also got a pussy, so it should be a doddle, really. Just do to her what you like having done to you and see if that works. Actually, now that I think about it, it should be way easier for you to satisfy her than for me to do it. And remember, even if you have no experience, she's definitely got plenty." At that point, the doorbell rang and put an end to any further conversation. My heart pounded in my throat as James went to answer the door. As I listened to him greeting Candy, I busied myself hyperventilating and contemplating my imminent demise in the kitchen. "Hi, gorgeous," Candy purred, sashaying into the kitchen and planting a kiss on my temple, accompanied by a light squeeze of my shoulder.
Hi, how are you?"
I inquired awkwardly, rapidly and audibly swallowing a few times, my mouth as dry as a desert. "Wow, you look absolutely terrified, Jess," Candy laughed.
"I'm not going to bite you, sweetheart. We won't do anything you're not comfortable with. This is meant to be fun.
Get her a glass of wine to relax her," she ordered James, who complied by pouring three large glasses of my favorite Bordeaux blend. To new friendships, Candy raised her glass and tapped each of our glasses in turn, making prolonged eye contact as she did so. Within a few minutes, my nerves had subsided, and we were laughing and joking around like old friends. Candy really was a vivacious and interesting person, and after about an hour, I suddenly realized that I was actually having a lot of fun. As for James, he seemed absolutely captivated by the pint-sized Venus. For a brief moment, as I watched them laughing together, I felt a pang of jealousy. But then I squashed it and decided to just enjoy the evening, whatever it might bring. By the time we'd finished our main course, we'd progressed to a light three-way flirtation and innuendo, and so I wasn't at all surprised when James said, "Who's ready for dessert? Jess has made her world-famous tiramisu, but we nearly had eclairs instead." "I absolutely love eclairs," I enthused, giving James a meaningful look, to which he responded with a grin and a wink. And, just like that, the decision was made. On our side, anyway. But Candy's flirtatious behavior seemed to indicate that she was more than ready to engage as well. After dessert, we retired to the big soft leather couch in our sitting room, and James put on our favorite makeout playlist. "You really do have a gorgeous wife, James," purred Candy, reaching out to slowly twirl a few strands of my hair around her index finger before softly running the backs of her fingers down my cheek. My pulse rate instantly skyrocketed as my eyes darted to gauge James's response. He was watching both of us in fascination, and when Candy pulled me closer to press her soft, tiramisu-scented lips to mine, I thrilled to the sound of his rapid intake of breath. Within minutes, Candy and I were kissing with wild abandon, and I forgot all about James until I felt his face moving close to ours for an exhilarating three-way kiss. This lasted for several minutes until James cleared his throat and said, "Ladies, how about we take this somewhere more comfortable?" And shortly thereafter, I found myself in a tangle of naked limbs on our king-sized extra-length bed. The contrast between Candy's voluptuously soft, warm body and James's lean and hard length was incredibly exciting to me. And when James put my head in his lap and leaned over to kiss me while Candy expertly went down on me, I thought I would die from sensory overload. Candy definitely had experience in making love to women, and she gave me two intense orgasms in rapid succession, after which she climbed the top of James and began riding my husband with immense enthusiasm. Watching her make love to my husband was an experience that will live in my memory for the rest of my life. At first, watching them in a state of post-orgasmic bliss was wonderful. But after a while, I realized that they had definitely forgotten all about my existence, and they were simply in a world of their very own. This was definitely not just fucking. They were making love, and it was intense and intimate and deeply connected. I began to feel utterly alone and excluded, and a deep sense of unease started to burn in my chest. Candy obviously possessed some superior skills, because when James orgasmed, his exultant roar was quite different from the usual grunt of satisfaction that I was accustomed to hearing. "My God, Candy, that was so amazing," he sighed, as they finally collapsed in a sweaty pile on the bed. Something twisted inside of me at his words. Even though I had definitely desired and consented to this interaction, and I had been sexually satisfied myself, something felt wrong and off. I felt like a stranger in my own bed. As if sensing my unease, James turned to me and brought my hand to his lips for a quick kiss, which did absolutely nothing to stem my concerns. "Wow, what a rush," trilled Candy, as she gave James a quick peck on the lips, squeezed my hand, and rolled off the bed to amble, completely naked and nonchalant, her ample bottom wiggling invitingly to the bathroom. "Are you okay, honey?" asked James, his eyes fixed on Candy's rear end, and so he didn't notice my grimace as I delved deep within to find my equanimity. "Sure, just exhausted," I lied, avoiding his eyes that focused on my face now that Candy was no longer in the room. James chose to accept my response rather than inquire any further, although I believe that it was patently obvious that I wasn't okay. This, of course, really fanned my fears even further. Candy left soon after, but I dodged any further interaction with my husband, and he seemed quite happy to avoid a scene that night. After getting into bed, he turned to me and said, "That was an amazing night, a fantasy come true. Thank you," before turning over and rapidly falling asleep. I, of course, lay tossing and turning for hours, replaying the events of the evening, over and over and over again in my mind as I tried to make sense of what had happened and my response to it. By morning, I had convinced myself that I had completely overreacted and that all was still well between James and myself. So much so that, when James suggested that we invite Candy over again for some fun a few weeks later, I agreed, mainly because James and I had been enjoying a high-octane sex life during the intervening time. I convinced myself that this latest sexual adventure really did seem to be having a very positive impact on our relationship. And yet again, I simply ignored and buried deep within myself all of my misgivings and all of my fears. The door to that closet, full of unexamined issues, was starting to bulge. And very soon, I would be forced to confront all that I had been hiding from myself. Day 9. Dear Yoni, I really don't know what to say to you about these deeply painful memories. In retrospect, I can't believe how blind I was to what was happening right before my very eyes, in my own home, and in my own bed even. Willfully blind, in fact. With the benefit of hindsight and all the insights and growth that I've acquired on the journey that you and I have subsequently travelled, it's absolutely obvious to me what was really going on. But back then, all I had were vague misgivings and a burgeoning sense of non-specific dread. Actually, to be more accurate, there were moments when it felt to me as if I was trapped on a runaway train without brakes, speeding down the track towards certain destruction. I could think of no way of preventing the certain outcome, and actually, by that point, I don't think that there was. The die was cast, and fate simply needed time to play out the inevitable. Whenever these moments of panic arose, I chose to ignore them, and to believe that everything was still fine between James and myself. I really didn't know what else to do. This is a really difficult piece to write, but I know that I have to do it in order to move on to writing about the better times that were lying ahead for us. So, here goes. And that's it for today, dear listener. Join us again next week to hear what happens with Jess and James. Bye.